So when I was a kid, every school break, my brother and I would go into our rooms, open up our closets, and take out every single toy. Every car, every plane, every Lego set, every Lincoln log, and every random piece of plastic that we were sure belonged to some toy, but we forgot just which one. All of that came out. We would spend hours taking our tubs of Legos and building new machines. We would use pillows and blankets to create vast mountain ranges, valleys, and terrain of all kinds. Buckets of fast food toys would strike out, settling this new bedroom frontier and make homesteads among the piles of books and dirty laundry that occupied our floors. Our bedrooms were already worlds of our own making. But on those days, we would make entire kingdoms come alive. As kings of our bedroom empires would pop on a paper crown from Burger King and turn these 7x8 spaces into something straight out of Middle Earth. Now, we didn't know any emperors or kings or queens personally, but history books, TV shows, and Disney movies filled in what we needed to know. Any royal worth their stuff had their own capital city, resided in a beautiful castle, and had hundreds of servants who would do their jobs while singing a happy and well-choreographed song. So as my brother and I sat on thrones of our own design, watching as the castles and cities inside our bedrooms grow, it wasn't long before we desired more. So with the precision and neatness that only crayons and notebook paper can bring, we would dream up plans to invade and take over our brother's domain. We'd put together our own hodgepodge armies in their own forms of military parades, with stormtroopers from Star Wars marching alongside pirates from Legos, and with Dr. Doom's Spider-Man and an occasional Beanie Baby held in reserve. And then, once everything was ready, we would let loose these dogs of war until our parents told us to clean our rooms. We were kings and princes of our own domain, for a little while, at least. Now, it's been a while since I spent school breaks building an empire in my bedroom, but I'm not sure if I've outgrown that image of royalty. When I think about being royal, I dream up those beautiful castles, those fancy clothes, and having a vast army of servants willing to do whatever I ask. My vision of royalty, the default picture I see in my mind when I think of kings and queens, princes and princesses, monarchs and sovereigns, doesn't start or end with the image we see in Luke today. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the church year, a day when we remind ourselves, like we do every Sunday, that we as Christians serve a different kind of king. We follow a monarch who, when given the chance to rule over every kingdom on earth, said no. Instead, he gathered together an unruly band of followers of all ages, races, and genders to follow him. Some thought he would assemble an army to drive the Romans into the sea, while others were there because he kept turning loaves of bread into full meals. And these amazing acts were signs of power that they clung to. But when violence, hate, and anger washed over Jesus, they all just stood by watching, while they looked to the cross for a sign of power. Jesus showed them what loving like God looks like. Jesus the King never wore a golden crown. The purple royal robe he wore was forced onto him by soldiers so they could laugh at him. And when his name was finally put on a sign that all could see, the name Jesus wasn't in giant golden letters with a million flags or images underneath. Instead, his name was scribbled on a piece of wood, showing others what the Roman emperor did to those who claimed to be kings and queens. We know that Jesus is a very different kind of king. We know he's a different kind of royal. He's the one who loved so much that he ended up on a cross, crucified between two thieves. During his entire earthly ministry, Jesus never looked like a king. He never fit the mold. But when I think of a king, when I hear the words Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, or Jesus is in control, whenever that appears in our hymns and prayers, our scripture, or even in the words we share with each other, my mind always paints the picture of the king I imagined myself to be in my bedroom so many years ago. I see castles. I see kingdoms. I see armies and all the money I could ever need. The first image in my mind isn't usually the image we see today. An image of a human being, this Son of God, half naked and nailed to a cross. Now, one of the major themes in Luke is the question of seeing. Who does Jesus see and who do we see? Throughout the entire gospel, Jesus sees those who we overlook. He notices the people with chronic illnesses, and he doesn't let the Sabbath get in the way of their being healed. He tells the story of a man who is robbed and left on the side of the road, and how an enemy, a Samaritan, stops and sees, doing all they can to care for this wounded man until he's whole. And way back, before Jesus' earthly ministry began, while he was just a little baby wrapped in cloth, the angels came and filled the sky. And they told shepherds to get up, go to Bethlehem and see what God is doing in the world. A sovereign has come and is using an animal feed trough as a bed. This king is not the king we expect to see. When we look for a huge castle with large fireplaces, what we find instead is a cold and secluded barn. When we expect to find servants and nurse mothers and slaves caring for this new baby boy, instead, we only find a husband and his wife and a few farm animals to keep them company. And when we expect to find rooms filled with gold-plated doors, fancy art pieces, and Louis XIV-themed furniture, we instead find a dirt floor and some straw. We assume we know what a king looks like. And even if we know the story of the cross, the image of a king can hide the Jesus who isn't right in front of us. Today, our sovereign isn't showing us only God's love. Jesus is showing us how to see it. When we look for fancy clothes, a golden crown, and a name in big gold letters, we are looking for kings and queens, princes and princesses of our own creations. We are looking for God in the places where we know and believe power and success live, in towers and castles that reach the sky. But God isn't in those beautiful places. The castle and temple God decides to build is a human body that ends up in a place we don't think sovereigns go. Christ is our King. Which means when we think of kings, when we think of royals, when we think of lords and ladies and being the emperors of our own domains, what we are called to see is not the beautiful castle, but instead the wooden cross. We are to see power not in the glory and strength manifested in military might, but the strength shown through the bending of the knee and serving at each other's feet. To know Christ is to see the cross, see that cross filled with the Creator of everything, and know that our King is rooted and grounded and motivated by just one thing. And that's love. Amen.